The only reason I ran up those stairs is to show y'all I still can do it. But I'll probably walk back down them, amen. So good to see you this morning. Thank you again for being with us. Thank you for the special music. You know, the only reason that that music makes any sense to me at all is because I've been born again of the Spirit of God. You see, before January 6, 1974, I would have been more likely sitting on the couch with my Sansui headphones on and my reel-to-reel tape deck that I bought in Phan Rang Air Base, Vietnam, listening to Santana and Black Sabbath. Yeah, I would have never listened to that kind of music. But when I got saved and I understood the words that were being spoken, it began to minister to my heart and thrill my heart, so where I can say now, sing it and preach it for the glory of God. And I thank the Lord for His wonderful, wonderful grace. Well, I'm sorely conscious of the task that's set before me for the remainder of this service this morning, and that is to ask the Lord to speak to your hearts, because maybe there are some in here who have not actually got peace from God about what they're to do. Maybe some are just, you know, hanging. Do you know, I've done a number of missions conferences over the years, not just at Beckwith, but at some other churches. And, you know, there's a few of those conferences that I've come away with, went home and increased our faith promise. Because I got spoken to by the Lord during those conferences. And so I always wait until I call it the last minute before I say, Lord, all right, I've got peace that this is what you want me to do. But before I get to my text, I want to read you an article that I found, and it's, I think it's so relevant to the day in which we live. And it's an article about terrorist cell groups discovered in churches. This article was written by Dennis Smart. He has an alias of Ben Reading. It's edited by Carlton Earp. His alias is Ben Thinkin. Latest news reports there are 5 terrorist groups that have been operating in Baptist churches, and they've been discovered, they've been uncovered. The church security identifies these as the Ben Sleepin' Group, the Ben Arguin', the Ben Fightin', the Ben Complainin', and the Ben Missin'. Their leader, Osama bin Lucifer, trained these groups to destroy the body of Christ, and his plan is to infiltrate the churches disguised as Christians and to work within the church to discourage, disrupt, and destroy those churches and discourage and discredit their pastors. Early reports of a 6th group prove false. Another tiny group, a cell known as the Ben Workin Group, actually turned out to be an effective counterterrorism force in the church. See, the Ben Workin team does not blend in with whatever and whoever comes along. The Ben Workin group visibly does whatever is needed to uplift and encourage the body of Christ. It's been noticed that the Ben Workin cell group has a different characteristic about them altogether than the Ben Sleepin', Ben Arguin', Ben Fightin', Ben Complainin', and Ben Missin' groups. What they've noticed is that they've been watching, they've been waiting, and they've been praying. And they've been longing for their master, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come. My question this morning is, what group would you identify with? What group would you identify with? Are you with that Ben Sleepin' bunch? That Ben Arguin'? That Ben Fightin'? That Ben Complainin'? That Ben Missin'? Or would you identify with the blood-bought and blood-washed, Ben Workin' till the Master Comes group? That's the best way to counteract any wiles of the devil in a local church. Just work, as we've sung, until Jesus comes. Turn with me to the book of Romans, if you will, please. Romans in chapter 1. I'm going to read just a few verses of Scripture, and you'll be thrilled to know that I don't have but one point this morning. But I got 49 subpoints. No, I'm teasing. All right. Notice, if you will, please, in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. The Apostle Paul writes, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You see, we who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb who have been trusted by Christ, our Lord and Savior, who have tasted of the Lord that He is good. We are now debtors both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. In other words, we who have accepted the truth of the gospel and have owned salvation for ourselves and have been born again are those who are compelled now to say that we are in debt with the truth we know and with the life we understand. This is why we are obligated. By the way, that's what a debt is. It is an obligation. Now, I certainly don't want you to raise your hand on this. I wouldn't purposely embarrass anybody. Well, there's been some times I've purposely do that, but I won't do it this morning. I don't want anybody embarrassed, but if you have any measure of debt this morning, a car payment, a house payment, or a credit card payment, or what they call consumer debt payment, you know what a debt is. It is an obligation. And you know that you have to rearrange your finances to ensure that that obligation is met. Otherwise, you have problems because of it. You might get a call from a finance company, or otherwise you might have something repossessed. So all of us understand what a debt is. It is an obligation. It is not something that we can take lightly. It is not something that we can say, don't worry about it. I mean, you know, I know I owe this on the 5th of the month, but it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. Because we have obligated ourselves or have been obligated. How many of you remember the little poem that goes, he paid a debt he did not owe. And I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, like we've been hearing singing. Amazing grace, Christ Jesus paid a debt I could not pay. If you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you understand the burden that was lifted from your heart. The night I got saved, I felt like I had a 200-pound sack of potatoes laying on my chest. Until I called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, I was under bad conviction. And when I called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, it's like that burden rolled away. And I didn't even understand all that was involved. Amen. But I knew one thing. I said, Lord, you told me that if I'd listened to your word, and that preacher Jack Thrift told me that if I'd admit that I was a sinner and I'd call on your name for salvation, you'd save me. And I said, God, I'm admitting and I'm calling, and I got saved. Not because I deserved it, not because I was worth it, but because he's worthy, this lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And so I understood very quickly, because my pastor, Jack Thrift, he came from a church that was pastored by Bob Thrift, Parkwood Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, and they had Faith Promise Missions conferences. Lisa and I got saved in January. We heard about Faith Promise Missions, but we left not too long after that to come back to the States. And then you know what we did? We messed up and joined Shady Grove Baptist Church, who was having their third annual Faith Promise Missions conference. Man, I ran out of one, got into another one. And I learned very soon in my Christian life that what I knew, I had a responsibility to tell. That I wasn't supposed to keep it to ourselves. You heard about the fellow that was in church so frequently, his pastor asked him one morning coming out of the sanctuary, he said, Brother, where have you been? He said, I thought you were in the Lord's army. He said, Pastor, I'm in the Secret Service. No, we're not in the Secret Service. We're in the out in the open public service for the glory of God, because we're debtors for the gospel. If you have been saved and you know how to tell somebody about saved, you are indebted, you are obligated by the mandates of the Word of God to tell everybody everywhere that Jesus saves. Now, all year, your pastor is encouraging you to do that. To talk to your neighbors, to befriend your workmates and acquaintances, and grab that opportunity to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we can take opportunities and we can make opportunities to share the gospel. And this week he's led you again to hone in on not just your Jerusalem, not just your area here, not just your parish, not just this area, but to look to the world and let you know that you're not only in debt to those who live around here, but those you might never, ever see or never have an occasion to meet. You more than likely will never meet some of the people that Brother John ministers to in prison, especially since where he's at right now. They're not getting out. You may never meet some of those folks in Papua New Guinea. You might not even meet some of the folks down here in what is it, Alma, Louisiana, where Brother Curtis started out. You might not ever run into them, but you know what? You got a debt to them. And I have a debt to them all the way from Georgia. Guess what? Our church supports Brother John Yalls. Our church supports Brother Nils Gade. Our church supports Brother Curtis Gibson. They're not even in our state or close to our state. When it comes to Brother John, I've always been thankful about that. You can get me later, John. Amen. All right. Brother John knows you only tease people you love deeply. And I love you, brother. I appreciate your work. But we're in debt. We're gathered here this morning as a group of people who have a financial responsibility during a missions conference to pay on that debt so that those who have been called to go to the regions beyond us can do so. I heard about a preacher who was preaching in a church, and he preached a series about the free water of life for 6 weeks. And after he finished that series, he decided to preach on giving. And one of the deacons came up to him after that first message on giving, after following 6 weeks on the water of life is free. And he said, Pastor, said, you're being a little hypocritical here. He said, you've told us the water of life is free, and now you're preaching about we got to give. He said, brother, I'm on track. He said, the water of life is free. He said, but somebody's got to pay to pipe it in and pipe it out. Amen. And that's what we're here today. You're being asked this week for all of the teaching that you've had over 21 previous years and all of the teaching in between those years from your pastors and all of the tenets of the Word of God about getting the gospel out. And we know it involves prayer. And oh, my goodness, that should be the biggest expenditure that we give for the missionaries on the field. But it also involves their needs to get there. You know, the Scriptures tell us that a man doesn't go to war at his own charge. The Scriptures tell us that they that preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. And so we discovered that we have a debt. So I want you to understand with me this morning that I believe that each of us should acknowledge this debt by realizing we all owe a debt of gratitude to our Lord. How many of you are thankful you're saved this morning? Amen. How many of you are grateful you're saved this morning? You know, a person can be thankful and not be grateful. See, it's real easy to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. But you know what a grateful person will do? They'll put it in print in a little card. Maybe do a little something with it. Because I'm really grateful. I'm grateful that I'm saved. I understand that I have the gospel indebtedness laid to my charge and to my life. And so for the past 44 years, Lisa and I have made a faith promise commitment every year of all of those years. And by God's grace, we've kept every one of them. That's not a brag on me. It's a brag on God's faithfulness. He's the one that continued to let me have an income. He's the one that continued to lay on my heart and move on our hearts that we ought to give faith to the Lord. And you know, I love missions and missionaries. I love church people. I love saved people, but I love lost people too. And I want them to come into the band of the blood bought and the blood washed. And so we all owe a debt of gratitude to our Lord. And we all must remember that and recognize it. Now, I'm not one who normally makes reference to movies or to secular things in a message. But there's one that I think is sufficient. How many of you have ever read Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol? Anybody in here ever read it? I've read it several times. I actually have 3 or 4 copies of DVDs of movies that are made by it. It's one of my all-time favorite things at Christmas, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Well, there's a place in the Christmas Carol where Charles Dickens comes to grips with the fact that he's been a miser. That's where, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge, that's where we get the term, somebody's tight, they're an old Scrooge, you know. Where he comes to grip with all of this from the ghost of Christmas past, present, and the Christmas future to come. And I'm not commenting on all of that. But the truth of the matter is, whatever truth got to him changed him and turned him from a miser that was fitting of the name Scrooge to a generous. And the end of that story says, and there never was a better man, more generous and kind, loved by all than Ebenezer Scrooge. But there's a place in there where at the beginning of the movie, he runs into somebody that owes him money and this guy don't have it to pay and old Scrooge is hard on him and he's going to send him to the debtor's house. But towards the end of that movie where he's had that change of heart, He runs into that guy again and he's frightened to death that he's going to go to the debtor's house. And Ebenezer Scrooge says, don't worry about it. He said, I've been so blessed. I've been so fortunate in my life. And he pulls out his little notebook where there are pages and page after page of people who owe him money. And he starts tearing it up and throwing it. And he's giddy. And he says, oh, I just can't believe it. How can I be so happy giving? And how can I be so happy? And then they go into the musical part. And there's a song that they sing. And I'm not going to try to imitate the British accent. I could, but it wouldn't be too consistent. And this is the little song they sing. On behalf of all the people who have assembled here, I would merely like to mention, if I may, that our unanimous attitude is one of lasting gratitude for what our friend has done for us today. And therefore, I would simply like to say thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's the nicest thing that anyone's ever done for me. I may sound double Dutch, but my delight is such. I feel as if a losing war's been won for me. And if I had a flag, I would hang me flag out to let all the final victory touch. But since I left me flag at home, I'll simply have to say thank you very, very, very much. Thank you. They were so filled with gratitude that they were telling everybody about what happened. Now, that's a secular thought of somebody. If somebody paid off an indebtedness for you, wouldn't you be grateful? You know what you'd have a tendency to say? You know, I really thank God for Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so. Man, you know, I was kind of laboring under this thing. And man, they took care of that for me. They're so precious. I love the Lord. I just am grateful for them. I love them and I love God. Think of the debt that we owed of sin. And think about the consequences of that sin. For the wages of sin is death. The death that we should have died, our Lord, in a substitutionary, vicarious suffering death, died for us. What a debt He paid for us. And everybody on this planet who has ever been born is now being born, or whoever will be born is born with that sin debt upon them. And they will labor under that sin debt, and they will die and go to hell and be separated from God for eternity if no one tells them that somebody paid that debt. You see, we all are old debtors. And this is why Paul was saying he was a debtor. Now, it involved him not being ashamed of how that debt was paid. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto God to everyone that believeth. That word power there comes from the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. You know, it's amazing if you've never heard this before, but do you know who invented dynamite? A man named Alfred Nobel. How many of you ever heard of the Nobel Peace Prizes? Do you know that Alfred Nobel who made that endowment is the one that invented dynamite? Isn't it ironic that the man who has an award for peace is the guy who invented dynamite? And you know where it was first used? It was first used in wars. As a substitute for the gunpowder, because the dynamite was a mixture of jelly ignite and some other chemicals. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the dynamite of God. It will do the work whereunto it is sent. But somebody has to take the debt and tell somebody that that debt can be relieved. That somebody is you and I. You and I. If you're saved, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you, like Paul, are debtor. And notice who he's debtor to. He's debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Now, the only one that Paul was referring to that would have been labeled for the Jews there is the wise. He would not have called the Jews barbarians, and he wouldn't have called them unwise, and he wouldn't have called them Greeks. So what Paul is saying is not only to the Jews, but to everybody to take the gospel. How many of you have a tendency, if you see somebody maybe less fortunate than you, that we kind of shirk back a little bit sometimes? You know, sometimes if I'm uptown Conyers or something and I see somebody that's pretty rough coming along, they look like they might be a little panhandler. You know, used to be I'd kind of just shirk back a little, didn't want to have much to do with them. But now I find it's an opportunity. They want something from me, right? Now, I can't say like the apostle, silver and gold have I none because I got some. But I can say, silver and gold have I, but you're not getting it. But I got something that I can give you. And I can give them a tract and witness to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't shirk back from them. Take every opportunity that you can. You want to know one of the best ways you never give somebody a gospel tract? When you're out and about, men, keep them in your pocket. If you see a lady loading her car, don't just run over there and scare her to death, but kind of walk up to her and say, ma'am, can I help you? Help her load that car. Say, can I put that cart back for you? And say, by the way, said, I'd like to give you this gospel tract and invite you to our service. You know what? I've had hundreds of ladies stand right there while I'm walking away with their cart, opening that up and reading it. They can't believe anybody is that kind. You know, this is a very unpleasant society we live in today. So take every opportunity to pay that debt. Or if you want to put it this way, to make payments on that debt. We'll, it's not something we can ever pay off. I remember hearing about the deacon in a church one day when he heard about the Lottie Moon offering, and they were taking it up every year. And he asked the pastor what it's for. He says, we're paying for this missions, this Lottie Moon. And he said, man, why don't we take up a big offering, just pay that thing off. He didn't quite understand, you know, how it was working. It's not a debt you can ever pay off, but it's a debt you can continue by the grace of God and with a grateful heart continue to pay. And this morning you're going to be asked in just a little while to make a commitment on that faith promise card. Now, somebody says it's not a pledge and it's not a promise, but I say it's a promise. It's a commitment. You're obligated to it if you make it for the glory of God. But you're going to be asked to help with this indebtedness of getting the gospel around the world. And as you've done every year, and you've done marvelously so, I trust you will do again this year. You see, the debt of gratitude is best expressed by our going. And there's a number of ways people can go, and I won't get deep into that because you've had much teaching on that in the past, and much this way you've seen the videos and everything. But first of all, there's two ways that we can go. The first way is we can go in person when we are called to do so. And you see that I'm stressing when we are called to do so. You see, being called to be a missionary, to commit your life to that endeavor and that task, is different than taking a missions trip. And that's commendable. I'm certainly for mission trips. And a lot of times on mission trips, some folks actually get their hearts spoken to about a call from God to do that. But when you're called to do so, you've got to go in person. You can't let somebody else take that call. You can't say, well, you know, I think I'll just sit around and I'll give the faith promise because I don't know if I'm really wanting to do that or I'm not really. I'm talking about if you have a compelling on your life and a call that you know from the Holy Spirit of God based on the tenets of the Word of God, and He's called you to go, I want you to know you can't pray it away, you can't give it away, and you cannot ever, ever get out from under that until you just obey God and just do what He says. But you know, not everybody gets called like that. And you know, God is such an orderly God. He does all things decently in order. We're told that in Scripture. And that's why He doesn't call everybody. Wouldn't be anybody in this missions conference except those who are stopping back by who having been called. But who would be here to hold the ropes and to pray and to give and help supply the needs and the materials that are needed for the works of God? Who if God called everybody to go in person, that wouldn't work. Do you see that? But while He hasn't called everyone to go in person, and everyone who has been called in person ought to go, He has called us all to go by proxy. He's called us all to go by proxy. I heard the story of a mother who took some time each day to go into her prayer room she had set up in her house, and she had prayer cards from missionaries all over the wall. And Lisa and I have experienced this. There was a little lady in Houston, Texas years ago when we were at Brother Jack Woods' church. Her name is Mrs. Sides. I know she's with the Lord now because she was pretty up in age, and I'm talking 30 some years ago. But she invited Lisa and I over to her house. And we went over and we were talking and all. She said, let me show you my prayer room. And I walked in there and brother, the whole walls were just, I don't know, do you know this lady? You ever heard of her? They were just plastered with prayer cards. And you know what? I looked close and Lisa's and my prayer card were up on her wall. And Lisa and I, man, we looked like little kids. Lisa had our little Nikki in her arms and there was us on her prayer card. And she said, I pray for you every day. And I said, well, that's why I'm being blessed. That's why my needs are being supplied. It's not because I'm some kind of great preacher and know how to present my field and get the people. I said, little Miss Sides is back there. She's praying for us, and we ought to pray. And we ought to pray. But you see, what she was doing is she was going by proxy through the avenue of prayer. And she also gave. Are you willing to go in person if God calls you? Are you at least willing to go by proxy if He hasn't called you to go? Both of those are indebtedness that we have on us with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we must go by proxy when we are shown to do so. When we are shown to do so. If you've been giving to Faith Promise for any amount of time, even if you just started last year, may have first heard about it, or if you've been, who in here was in the very first conference that we had? Look at that. I'm going to tell you what. I believe you. I know that you've heard about missions. Because before this Sunday school, I preached 123 messages at Beckwith Baptist Church and missions conferences. I know some of you are saying, yeah, I heard some of them. I wasn't all that impressed. There's a story told of Charles Spurgeon was traveling with his wife, and they stopped by a little chapel. And Spurgeon had his penny sermons that went out all across the country, printed in the thousands. And they got back in the carriage, and Mr. Spurgeon said, "Wifey," she said, "did you notice that young minister preached one of my sermons?" And she said, "Yes, Charles, I did notice, but I thought he did a rather better job on it than you did." So he didn't ask her about that anymore, you see. But we can go by proxy. Another mother who was praying was interrupted by one of her children, and she opened the door and she said, "Darling, Mommy is in the prayer room." She said, "Don't disturb me when I'm in China. Don't disturb me when I'm in Bolivia. Don't disturb me when I'm in the prison death row ward. Don't disturb me when I'm in Papua New Guinea." You can go by proxy through the avenue of prayer. You can go by proxy through the avenue of giving, that those who are called to go may go. And I trust by God's grace and for God's glory, in just a little while, when you say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And you get that peace from God and you make that commitment and you rearrange everything in your life for the next year that's necessary to keep that commitment, that you will keep this uppermost in your mind. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. I got a car payment on this day of the month. I got a house payment on this day of the month. Those are commitments that I've made. The most important one is going to be my giving of the Lord through the first fruits tithe of my increase and my missions gift to help send the gospel around the world. Let's stand together for prayer. I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I'm a debtor. Churches and ministers, that is missionaries, must both realize and acknowledge that we have a symbiotic relationship. Symbiotic means mutual, mutually dependent, between churches and missionaries. See, it works like this. Churches need missionaries. They're the laborers who are working in our fields. The field is the world. That field belongs to the church. Missionaries are laboring in that field. So churches need missionaries, but you know what? Missionaries also need churches. Because as I've said briefly, we are obligated to send the gospel out. Who goeth to warfare at any time in his own charge? Who planteth a vineyard and eat not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:79, or say not the law also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of oxen? In other words, it's our responsibility. I'm a pastor. I'm a believer. I'm a church member. I haven't been called to go in person to a foreign place, but I've been called to go by proxy. And so by prayer and by financial giving, Lisa and I are meeting our commitment of debtedness to the Lord. I'm a debtor, Paul said. Will you recognize that indebtedness and will you act upon the responsible method of taking care of it by praying, going, and giving? because the Lord could call us out at any time through the door of death. And the next thing is we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for deeds done in the body. Or He could catch us up at any moment. And we're going to wind up at the same place, the judgment seat of Christ. The first one a little lax in there, and the second one almost, instantaneous. But let's do what we can do for the glory of God right now, because we are debtors. And this is the only indebtedness that I'm happy that I have. That I'm thankful that I have. That I'm thankful to be able to give to. It's a thrill. It's a joy. It's a blessing. And I want to continue, as does my wife, as we pray and serve the Lord together, we want to continue to be responsible and understanding of the fact that we're debtors for the gospel of Christ. Let's pray, Pastor. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for this congregation and for the years of involvement and fellowship that I've been blessed and my wife Lisa have been blessed to have with them. Thank You, Father, for the blessings of being able to be here to fellowship all week, to hear the preaching and teaching from other men and to hear the songs of Zion sung. Thank You, Father, for the blessings of being able to be here. Thank You that we were able to support the meeting this week. It's just a blessing. And I pray for Pastor Rob that You'll continue to bless him as he leads this congregation in every area, and especially as he leads them in a worldwide vision and missionary outreach for Your coming glory. Be glorified this morning, Lord, and we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Pastor Rob, God bless you.